Quality foodies, what's good? On this episode, Anton and I got to chatting about fictional foods and some of the tasty looking dishes we've seen prepped and consumed in movies and on TV. Whether some cartoon cuisine had you drooling or a chef whipped up a great dish on your favorite new drama series, The Bear, we have all witnessed a fictional food item that stirred up a craving. Whether you find that food inspo from the big screen, the TV, or even swiping your way through social media, there's a make-believe in fantasy foods for everyone's taste. So let's get into some tasty chat. But first, the Quality Goods Podcast is brought to you by BigWavesLaundering.com. Are you tired of lugging around heavy detergent bottles and dealing with messy spills? Say goodbye to the hassle and say what's good to the future of laundry with Big Waves Detergent Strips. The powerful strips are packed with the latest cleaning technology designed to tackle even the toughest stains and leave your clothes looking fresh and vibrant. One strip into the machine or detergent slot and you're right on your way to fresh threads again. No more liquids, pods, powders. The strips are compact, lightweight, and fully dissolvable, reducing plastic waste and your carbon footprint. So don't compromise on clean and experience the convenience and efficiency of Big Waves Laundering Detergent Strips today. Upgrade your laundry game and ride the wave at BigWavesLaundering.com. Code QG15 for 15% off of your order today.
Quality, 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 quality foods. Quality, 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 quality foods.
What is going on, quality foodies? You are tuned into the Quality Foods Podcast, where we explore culture through our taste buds and memories as we discuss cuisine of all types. I'm Chris Beatty.
And I'm Anson Jay.
And I was recently watching Spirited Away. For those of you unfamiliar, one of Studio Ghibli's best films, in my opinion, most widely known. But yeah, in this movie, like it towards the beginning segment of the movie, the protagonist and her parents happen upon a big market, like that they found their way off the beaten path to this like crazy at the time uninhabited market.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they just start, the parents start gorging themselves on this like, you know, mystical feast of dumplings and meat, and there's steam popping up everywhere. And it looks amazing. You know, it's like, I can get in on that.
Yeah.
Just seeing that kind of depiction of food, it just got me thinking about all of the delicious looking and also wild foods that I've seen depicted in fictional stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and we always kind of talk about in general on these episodes, kind of like our first like memories of food. And a lot of it, I think, is tied to like animation, especially when we were kids watching cartoons.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the biggest icons for sure is Homer Simpson. I mean,
yeah, without a doubt.
You know, we were just getting into it, talking about some of the stuff you had mentioned, the chili one where you tried to eat
he ate a bunch of, he waxed his mouth.
He was thinking, innovative,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and just threw down like 9 of these mystical chilies from Chief Wiggum.
Mm-hmm. And then just had a little psychedelic trip. And that was a cool little scene afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, that's a crazy thing is spicy, really spicy shit can probably do something like that to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, obviously the donuts, he's known for that. I think whether the one where he was, I think in hell or something, and they were trying to punish him. So the devil's like feeding him. He's like, let's see how you can handle unlimited, pretty much like unlimited donuts. And Homer's just going to town and he's like, well, you're not even fazed by it.
There's also the one where he was trying to put on enough weight that he could work from home. Yep.
Moo Homer.
Yeah. And they, and he rubbed a burger on the, and they're like, if you rub something on a piece of paper and it turns clear, then you should consume it.
So, well, I don't remember that part. That's funny.
And he rubs a burger on the window and a bird.
I think it was like wrapping butter or something. But yeah. Homer's a trip. One of the earlier memories, the blowfish one where, he was eating the exotic fish.
And he thought he was going to die.
So yeah, a huge foodie icon, Homer Simpson. Yeah. But like what's the early memory for you?
Man, it's got to be Ninja Turtles. Like yeah. that was the immediate thought that I had. It's just that cheese pool and that pizza.
Those vague looking toppings, but it still looked delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. There, it might have been peppers, might have been mushrooms. Who knows what it was, but that cheese pool just made me want to get a pizza every time.
Yeah. I've been chasing that cheese pool my whole life.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since I had some pizza, so I don't know. Maybe sometime soon, though.
Check it out. But I'm sure a pizza episode's coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There probably multiple. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, and then one of the most notorious kind of, you know, early depictions of like feast or like fantasy food that I can think of is also Hook.
Robin Williams. Live action, of course.
I think everybody in our audience should definitely be familiar with that
But yeah, they had the feast scene, or, you know, obviously Peter couldn't see the food at first and he's like not quite grasping it. And then like kind of some of them believing him, other ones hating on him, or like, oh, you lost, you know, so you don't do it.
And then that one fateful scoop and fling.
A little fling and boom.
Boom.
All the colors come to life. Then they have a little food fight. But something you brought up before when we were getting on talking about it is like, man, that was actually kind of a messed up scene in ways. Like you're thinking about these like kids out on their own.
Yeah. They had to imagine the food. So how often were they imagining food? Did they ever actually eat?
Yeah,
food?
Exactly.
Does imaginary food imaginarily nourish you? Exactly. I don't know.
Do you get the right amount of amino acids in these, you know, fantastical,
frosting.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you believe in it, is it really food now, or are you just so good with your imagination
that you're not hungry?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, none of the kids were emaciated, and one kid was actually quite chubby. Rufio was still Rufioing.
Yeah.
He was still crowing.
Yeah, he was getting that protein in. You know what I'm saying? You can't be swinging around like that and skating and whatever. You ain't need some. But yeah, shout out Hook. One of the early food fight memories for me. I've never been bold enough to be in a food fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think I only had one food fight when we were younger.
Because
I mean that does inspire a food fight. Like after you watch that scene, you want to be.
If you get to lunch and you have a kind of food that is that texture, that kind of spreadable, slimy, gooey, then you're gonna want to fling it, man. You're gonna want to see.
Yeah, man. Like when I was younger, my friends and I, we were having like spaghetti at one of our houses. Food.
Yeah.
And one time it just turned into a straight up spaghetti war. And there was spaghetti everywhere.
Oh, how dare you do that at somebody's house? Oh man, that's fucked up. Yeah. You're never invited over to my house again with that.
Yeah. We must have been like, spaghetti does like eight or nine or something in that age range.
Damn.
But yeah, we went all out.
If there's meatballs in there too, even more flingable.
I don't think there's any meatballs in the mix, but there is definitely spaghetti everywhere.
That's hella funny. No.
Yeah, we
condone food fights.
Sorry, Tom and Judy.
Damn.
All these years later.
Get some big waves, laundry detergent. We'll help you out with that. Clean up the linens. I mean, you know, ever since the beginning, I think people still make it a point in most entertainment to just have pop culture type references in their shows. A lot of it is to like help reminisce, right? But one of the craziest ones, I think, like Rick and Morty, you would probably have to say.
I mean, that crossed over into real life and it caused quite a frenzy at McDonald's.
It was
Szechuan sauce.
Mm-hmm. And it was like their audience grew up on that and they made it relevant again and like put in everyone's ears like, oh man, let's make this happen.
Great sauce, by the way. Like, you know, I remember the original release of that sauce. I believe it was from Mulan in the day. The animated one, not the recent.
That one's pretty good too.
But
yeah, exactly. I remember then I didn't have it the second time around because y'all were just too wild about it.
Yeah. I'm sure you can find it on eBay now.
For crazy amounts.
But yeah, I mean, that's a kind of sauce I like a sweet. It was kind of like a sweet and sour sauce, but it had like a little more umami.
When it comes to
teriyaki-ish.
And when it comes to fictional sauces, that one's kind of not exactly fictional, but it went from real life to a fictional show back to real life. But in general, I always feel like sauces in animated things are going to be a little more sweet and savory. I don't know why. Just maybe because of cartoons, I guess. Like, I assume there's some sugar in it, but.
Yeah, I mean, another pop culture icon in the food space was Ratatouille, you know?
It
brought the culinary arts into the Disney film, and a pretty popular one at that.
Yeah, I didn't watch it till years later, but loved it. Would have never even thought about, or if you would have asked me what Ratatouille was before that,
I didn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know.
So they brought it to the mainstream. Now you see people's recipes.
I've maybe only eaten Ratatouille like once.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't even remember where. I do remember having it. I don't even remember where though. Yeah. I didn't make it. I tell you that. Yeah. That's a labor intensive dish.
Exactly. I think the bang for your buck on that one's, I don't know. It's a little too much time consuming for me for what I feel it's going to taste like.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a bunch of roasted vegetables.
All delicious.
Soft.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they're all delicious, but I could eat them way quicker than that. But shout out to anybody who's down to make Ratatouille.
Yeah, beautiful dish. I'll praise you.
And, great movie.
I'll eat it.
Yeah. Great costumes come out of it. Easy costume, but great costume.
Yeah, I feel like there was like recent...
Oh, no, people, for sure.
Like it doesn't go away. You
yeah, because I think people are using the music from it. And that's why like it continues.
Oh, you know, and you know what else I saw recently is because of that everything. Oh, what is it? Everything every always.
Oh yeah. Whatever. Yeah,
They had like they poked fun at Ratatouille. It was like Raccoonie or whatever.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah.
So I actually saw one of those costumes last Halloween. So that kind of like revived that.
I'll show you exactly, but I mean, but yeah, anyone who brings you into their movie, you got to show, show some love.
That's the impact of Ratatouille. Exactly. They fucking made fun of it in a new movie that won Best Picture. What Best Picture last year?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But yeah, would you rather have a rat or a raccoon cooking up your fancy little dish?
That's a toss-up. Yeah, they're both rodents. I don't know. I feel like raccoons are. A little cuter, maybe.
I don't know. Slightly go with that. I can see that.
I mean, another dude who's brought a lot of these dishes, fantasy dishes, to life is Andrew Ray of Binging with Babish. You know, I got put onto his YouTube channel a long time ago now. He's probably been around like 15-ish.
Oh yeah,
years.
And he was thinking the same thing, just bringing things to life that he had seen in shows.
Not even a pro chef or anything. Just had passion and idea and started doing, you know? And I think he probably just built his culinary skills over time just by practicing and recreating recipes and just, and now he's got like a whole line of products. And
I definitely would watch him on and off, but like, I love the content was real, even simple back then, just like,
he was doing just the hands.
Oh
that no beforehand. Face.
Yeah. But that's, just like to the point. Yeah. Just
torso
cooking,
and arms and voiceover.
Yeah.
Which and is, I like that. Yeah. His own, it was his own style. Yeah.
Exactly.
Something that we've talked about on the podcast, on the Quality Goods podcast numerous times is just developing your own style of content creation and having your signature look, you know, it worked for him.
Yeah. Turn it into a whole other thing.
But let's take a moment to shout out some of these like known, like fictional spots. I mean, just starting in like the animation world, we got Krusty Burger, Quickie Mart, you know, a lot of food came out of Simpsons, Squishies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Krusty Burgers were ever like a real focus. I mean, there was maybe like one episode that focused
on a commercial or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or or Krusty's trying to eat it and like he's spitting it out, I think, like between takes or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
Disgusting. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, then, shout out to all the kind of burger places, Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, Bob's Burgers, Krusty Krab.
Yeah, the Krusty Krab.
Krabby Patty. It's not is it a burger? It's a burger in the... The underwater.
Yeah. It's a seafood burger of some sort. And shout out one of my old jobs, I used to work at KB Toys way back in the day. And then they just had Krabby Patties all day. People would just buy Krabby Patties.
Our
kid stores.
Yeah. Even real life restaurant, McDonald's has fictional characters as their mask. They don't anymore, but growing up, they had a whole team of.
Yeah, well, they got big again. I mean, Grimace and all that now.
Yeah, Hamburglar.
Yeah,
Exactly. There were some other characters in there, I feel like.
A chicken, a bird of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the what happened to those guys. Yeah. But
oh, they all kind of made a little renaissance. I mean, just with like the toys that came out and stuff like that. Eat burgers, like at the Max. You know what I'm saying? It seemed cool to go to. Like,
Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Yeah. Little milkshake.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of famous fictional restaurants and sitcoms and whatnot, too. You know, you get Good Burger is one from when we were younger. And they actually just recently made a sequel. I think it's a sequel. I haven't seen it. But yeah, shout out to Keenan and Kel. And those guys are some OGs.
Glad to see them go back and do it.
Pollos Hermanos. Oh, yeah. That's another famous one. That I think that one, someone actually made one in real life.
You got to at that point.
You know somebody's going to take liberties. Yeah. I don't know. But
one that I just thought of right now, but Bubba Gump.
that's a crazy one too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to one since I was like a kid, but that was like, yes, let's go to this. How many shrimps they got out here?
Shrimp stew.
Exactly. I wonder how many shrimp they actually had. I know they had a decent amount. They didn't have bubble levels, of shrimp, but they had options.
Yeah. There's a lot of food tropes in Forrest Gump. Yeah. Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah. Drinking
all this. Dr. Pepper is the ice cream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's so funny.
Yeah, life is like a box of chocolates. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn, very food heavy.
Yeah, lots of food tropes in that one. Another movie with a lot of food tropes is Pulp Fiction.
Kind of scattered throughout.
Yeah, Aloha Burger.
Yeah,
why is everything fictional burgers?
I wonder if it's
just easy.
Yeah, I was gonna say easy to relate to. But
it wasn't Aloha. It's Big Kahuna Burger.
Oh yeah. But then they talked about the Royale with cheese, Quarter Pounder, the whole deal.
Yeah, the movie starts in a diner.
Yeah, I was gonna say, in the diner.
Yeah, they go to Jackrabbit Slim's, Vincent. Yeah, and
get the $5 shake. Wallace.
Yeah, the $5 milkshake. She got it, Martin and Lewis.
Yeah,
right? Not Lewis. Amos and Andy.
Yeah. But yeah. And then they end up at the diner at the end of that movie.
The end is the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there's a what's it called? Most recently, of course, the bear and the original beef. I don't even remember the name of the new restaurant.
Isn't it called the bear?
Was it the bear? Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, yeah.
A Chicago beef sandwich is phenomenal. I don't even know where to get one of those around here. If one of y'all know where to get a Chicago beef sandwich, let me know, because I would like to have one sometime. The only place that I knew was in Pleasanton, and I believe it's gone.
Oh, damn.
I think the last one I had was at a Giants game, actually, at the ballpark.
Yeah, because in LA, I think they have Portillo's, right?
Yeah.
And that is like
the beef Chicago
place. Yeah, look at the
they got hot dogs too, right?
Chicago down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like even we talked about, something crazy about that one, like one of the bigger food memories in that show is more just the simple like omelet that she made, with
chips. Just like a well-executed omelet with some crumbled potato chips. I'm surprised I haven't even tried that since then.
Just crumble something on top of it.
I think you got to stick with like a classic potato chip, just like a run-of-the-mill potato chip, or I mean, maybe a jalapeno chip, I don't know. But potato chips sound like a pretty nice textural contrast on that omelet. And then in the not so edible selection of food features, we have something like American pie.
Yeah, exactly.
Not so much about the food itself.
Yeah, exactly. The pie was just...
And I think only the first one really features that pie.
I know. There should have been a little more of a tie together with that. Some food. Yeah, with the apple pie of some sort. Like, you have to like throw it in there somehow. Someone discovers apple pie like that.
How are you going
to
have American pie too and no pie?
Yeah, exactly. Should we double the pies? Damn. But yeah, that was a classic. Another one of us growing up.
Varsity Blues, there's the whipped cream bikini. And not the only,
exactly,
a shadow of food,
but function and flavorful, I guess.
Big Daddy had a lot of food features in there, like the lamb and tuna fish.
Oh yeah. Even the talking about the McDonald's opening was important. It was a time it needed to be said.
It's funny because Buscemi was that part also, McDonald's part, he was the waiter in Pulp Fiction.
Oh yeah, that's funny. Shout out Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, shout out to Buscemi.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm sure there's all kind of food things that are out there. Lately, I think a lot of it in TV has been like reality show related, but I do like when you see the fictional stuff come up. I like to see the new thing that hasn't been touched on yet. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's some cartoon I haven't seen that talks about stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Fictional foods, they can be real now. I mean, other than something like Fifth Element, where they like put a couple of pills in the box and it out pops all roasted chicken.
Yeah, or just
not quite there.
Yeah, yet. They did that Back to Future too, I think, where they dehydrated the pizza and it was a small pizza. Yeah, same kind of concept. Well, we got to be close. They're thinking that's what it is.
Movies are always predictors of the future, right? They're always. Yeah. I mean, look at like something like Minority Report. We're getting there with stuff like Apple Vision Pro. So
yeah, I was about to say, is like that's where you're gonna taste it. It's just through the
other headset now. We're going full circle. Going, the hook. We don't even
exactly.
We're just gonna be eating imaginary food and getting imaginarily like nourished.
It's one like consistency, but as soon as you eat it, it changes the texture and the flavors and everything. But it's the same base, like you know, pudding. Fucking yeah. Who knows, man? Can't wait for that episode. We'll be all online by then, all virtual, and just talk about how virtual foods. Damn, it's going to change the whole quality goods universe.
Yeah, that's all we have to do. We have to invent some kind of mechanism that can
do all that.
Trick your taste buds into thinking you actually
They still haven't even done smell-o-vision yet, man. We got to get that really rolling first. Yeah,
right? You know, smell is one of the biggest factors in taste.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let us know your fantastical foods that you've had out there. Or anything we didn't talk about it.
We named a good selection, but I'm sure that there's some kind of...
But very generational too. You know, we grew up in that, you know, so we'd love to see what you guys grew up as kids, or even you guys have kids now, what you guys are watching out there or listening to and consuming.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of fictional foods would you want to find your way to? If you were
or had animated. You recreated some of these fictional foods
Have you babished it and just made it? Let us know. Because I think for me, the first thing I got to do is go do that omelet with the potato chips. I'm on a mission now.
Yeah, that's one where you can actually try to do. Some of these, like you said, are a little too crazy.
And my omelet skills are not bad. I might need to watch that scene again just to
get a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a couple people on technique. YouTube you can watch out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try the hook food. I'm going to see what I can do and try to reverse engineer that and see.
Just go to the frosting section of your grocery store and just buy a bunch of it.
Yeah, add different savory bowls. Seasonings. Yeah. Well, I'll let you know how that goes terribly, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fantasy foods.
Yes.
Let's go eat.
Yeah, let's have some.